This episode of the Inaho Uprising is sponsored by Blue Apron. Welcome to the Inaho Uprising, the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of Sam, one black, single, feminist, polyamorous hoe living in New York City.
And Akua, one single black feminist carefree girl living in New York. I don't know. I like whole shit. I like mental health, something like that.
Yes, we just doing the damn thing out here. The way this show goes, we have one consistent hoe. I'm here every week, and then we have our three rotating hoes. This week was supposed to actually be Rob week, but due to a family emergency, Rob cannot be here, sadly. So we back rocking with Akua, who just filled in the slot.
I'm like, just guys, spreading my bad mobo jumbo onto the other co-hosts. No, let me not joke because it was serious for Rob. No jokes. But yeah, I'm just trying to steal this. So I just jumped and was like, hey, I can do it. Yeah, why not?
But yeah, please send your love and light
and positive vibes to Rob and her family at the moment. Thank you.
So if you're a new listener to the show, we have a couple of segments for you.
Mm-hmm. We have Bae of the Week,
where we talk about people who we find attractive.
We have Ho of the Week,
where we shout out you guys, the homies, the listeners.
We have Self-Care Tip of the Week,
where we give you guys some advice on how to care for yourself.
We have Pay a Bitch,
where we beg for money.
We have Fuck That,
where we talk about current events relating to sexuality.
We have Fuck It,
where we talk about our topic. And today's topic of the day is exotic dancing.
We have Fuck Me,
the segment about our sexual romantic lives.
And lastly, Fuck You,
which is the segment about you guys' sexual romantic lives.
If y'all want to follow along with the stuff we say up in here on social media, you can do so by using the hashtag Inaho Uprising so we can see it, and hashtag Pod In so other people can see it.
Yes, yes. Okay, so our first segment, Bae of the Week.
Bae of the Week.
Yeah.
I have two because Sam's polyamory is just spreading over to me. I guess I can't just pick one.
Share the love.
The first one is Najaya Shelton, who is a black woman. Hope I'm not misgendering or mispronouncing her, but from what I gather, she's a black woman. And basically, like last Wednesday or something, she posted this Facebook thread or this Facebook Snapchat of a conversation she was having with a guy she met on blackpeoplemeet.com. I didn't know black people used that.
I didn't know black people still use it outside of BET commercials.
Yeah, outside of BET commercials, and it was for like people that were like 40 or 50. So
I didn't know young black people use that.
Yeah, I didn't know young black people use it either. But anyway, she was having this conversation, basically read this Hotep ass nigga to filth.
Yeah.
Because he's just like, oh, black women don't submit and they need to let black men lead. So she's asking all the ways in which he leads his community. You know, what do you do for the community?
He was so stupid.
What do you do?
I tell black men they should be kings. And she was like, is that it? And he's like, that's all they really need.
What?
Come on, guy. Come on.
They should just pick it up from there. Like, she's just shredding him to filth. Like, you know, what's your credit score? He's like, oh, it's really bad. I made some bad mistakes. She's like, did you go to college? He's like, no. So it was like, your credit score is fucked up because of what? You're not even in debt. So how's your credit score fucked up? Like, how can you lead me if you can't financially lead yourself? Like, she just read him.
Yeah. And then she was also like, you didn't know these things because you didn't have anybody teaching you these things. And then she was like, I literally teach kids these things. So don't tell me that, like, black women need to submit or whatever, and that all black men are the only leaders or whatever.
She listed everything she does for her community, like black owned, she has her own like business or something like that. Like, she was just listing it all, and I was just like, yes, sis.
And then his filthy ass was like, damn, queen, I didn't know you was like that. So you're just gonna diss me until I like prove my credentials to you? You can't just respect me up front?
And at the end, she's just like, so what do you have to offer? And he puts an eggplant emoji. After I've told you everything I do for myself and the black community, and all you gotta offer me is some penis.
He's like, well, I mean, .. eggplant emoji.
I want to know what happened to the conversation after that, because that's where it ended. But from what we could see, I would have locked him too. But just for, you know, dismantling these Hotep ass, I'm a black man, that's all I need, ass niggas. You're Bae of the Week, Najaya.
Thank you, Najaya.
Again, Ashley Marie Preston is my Bae of the Week.
Woo!
Why? Because she was at a Los Angeles trans something. I'm sorry, y'all. I should know what it was, but it was
Akua wasn't even supposed to be the host this week. So really give it to Akua.
I just popped up, said I'm going to do things. But so it was an event for trans people in Los Angeles, mm-hmm. and basically she was there. She saw Caitlyn Jenner, mm-hmm. rolled up on her like the true queen she was, and was just like, I don't like you. You support this racist bigot, knowing the community you come from and what you should stand for, and just read her to filth as well.
He saw Caitlyn Jenner trying to hug her at first, and she was like, no,
I'm not here for that. I'm not here for that. She's like, how are you pouring your money into this man? And she just read her for filth.
Yeah, I love that. And then Caitlyn Jenner's non-accountable ass was like she actually, and I hated this, she tapped another, I'm assuming trans woman, but black woman in front of her, mm-hmm. and was like, she was like giving her like the thumb, like, hey, do you know this person?
Like, well, you're like, come get her.
Like, listen to what she's saying. How about that? Like, because she's calling you out on your BS. Mm-hmm. Like, just because you're a trans woman doesn't mean that your privileges shouldn't be called out.
Exactly. Your problematic behavior.
Exactly.
Shouldn't be called out.
Exactly. And this event is the perfect place to do it, honestly. Like, if we're going to pretend like we all care about all trans people, then we should really actually care about all trans people.
And what I really loved about it is that, you know, Ashley was just about that life. Like, we all say, you know, if we saw someone, we're going to pull up. No, she was really on site. Like,
she was really on site.
There was no qualms about it. She didn't think twice. She was like, that's all, Caitlyn. Oh, I got some words for that hoe. I told them when I saw her down the block, I was going to be on site. Now it's on site. Like, she had no qualms, and I was like, yo, sis,
we gotta be like that.
I need to
pull
learn.
Up on somebody just to pull up.
like she didn't care who was watching. She didn't care about no camera. She didn't care about nothing. She was like, I'm going to tell you about yourself because I'm tired of your problematic ass shit. Mm-hmm. And that, yes, sis,
we love you.
Yes.
two-time Bay of the Week
in like 2 weeks. Like,
only Ashley's Beyonce out here has winning.
You know, Ashley and SZA. So you up there with Ashley SZA, and SZA. Beyonce. Beyonce and SZA. Like, boy.
Love it.
All right.
Next segment, Ho of the Week.
Ho of the Week.
This week we have Emma C, who paid a bitch and said something very nice, but I don't remember what it was.
We slacking, y'all.
Oh, man. I'm so sorry, guys.
We're going through a lot, y'all. We're just trying to keep our heads above water. You'll hear about it later.
And the second hoe of the week, Rob had some hoes of the week, but I'm not sure why they picked them. So
the second one. Champagne. Is mine. Oh, okay. Yeah. So my hoe of the week is her Snapchat handle is _champagne_. Basically, I think like yesterday or the day before, me and Dave were just out doing mother son things on Snapchat, mm-hmm. and she just very like slid stuff. In DMs and was like, oh, y'all cute and hey and emojis and stuff. And you know, I love to shout y'all out when y'all show me love. So aww. That's to you, Champagne girl, or they. I'm not going to mispronounce
you. I see you, Champagne,
then. I see you.
I see you, Champagne Z.
You know?
And then also I wanted to shout out Morgan, who used to listen to the show. I'm not sure if he still listens, but back when he did, or back in the beginning of the show, he was like one of the people who was like, yeah, go Sam and Shanika or whatever. I listen to every episode. And he was like commenting on the episode and stuff like that. And even now, still, like when he reaches out to me, he's like, I really like love what you're doing and support what you're doing. He taught me how to play the drums. Oh. He taught me how to play Haitian drums. Yeah, Morgan. Yeah. Yeah, just mad supportive and like really fucks with the vision.
Yeah.
But also he is the person who got me in contact with the guest for this episode.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Morgan, yes. For the support. Yes, I appreciate you.
And whenever you guys have like an idea in mind and actually have a person in mind and you guys can get us in contact with them, that would be awesome.
All we need is a handle. And we'll slide in them DMs. Yeah, we'll slide in the email.
We definitely will.
We're uncouth. We don't got no tact. We'll find them on the street. Send me their address. No, don't send me
their
address.
People hand out condoms to random people.
We do it every day.
Next segment. I don't have an actual self-care tip of the week. Rob's. Okay, so we're not taking care of ourselves, and you guys can't either.
I'm really not taking care of myself, so just listen to the stuff we said before. It all still matters. Take that advice.
Next week, it'll be much better.
Just drink some water. Self-care tip of the week.
That's always a good one. That's always a good stock one. If you have to use the bathroom, use it. Yes. Don't hold your pee. Yeah, no, because sometimes you're at the desk, and you're like, all right, just go.
Just push through.
Yes.
Eat lunch. Yeah. Don't work
Fulfill your basic needs when you feel them.
Yes.
Good. As soon as you
My son is here and he's co-signing all this.
He's like, facts, huh?
He's also true recording. True.
Next up, we have Pay a Bitch. If you guys would like to help sustain this podcast monetarily, you can go to innerhoeuprising.com, click the tab Pay a Bitch, and that will take you to our PayPal. If you'd like to go directly to our PayPal, you can also go to paypal.me/innerho and drop some coins in the box. If you would like to get some...
That was so dirty in my mind.
Coins in the
Join
box?
Some coins in the box.
I don't even get it.
I just see a guy slipping quarters into someone's vagina. Ew.
That's really dirty. Like, money is really disgusting.
It really is. And I always put it in my bra. Oh my gosh. Sorry.
This is not out of character for you. Because what was it, a couple of episodes ago with the gun?
Oh, yeah.
You're like, I put random things in there all the time.
Random things all the time.
Quarters, pennies, dimes.
Well, not quarters. That
nickels, you name
there.
It.
You yeah, name yeah. it. Throw back.
The Susan B. Anthony doll. What was I saying?
Oh, so we're paying people.
Oh, yes,
we're
yes, yes. Merchandise. If you want to buy some InnerHoe Uprising merchandise, you can do so by going to InnerHoeUprising.com and clicking the tab Merchandise. You can also use the sponsor codes used in this and previous episodes, because when you support our sponsors, you support us. And finally, if you want to just tell a friend about the podcast, hashtag us on social media, add us on social media, repost one of our pictures. That also helps to grow the show. Bars. All right, so our next segment is
Fuck That!
Our current events segment.
So, first up, sex workers assaulted by clients and homophobic attack. Mm-hmm. So, the sex worker in question, his name is Jesse Coulter, and he's a worker from San Francisco. Quick fact, Jesse was once kicked out of a water park called Queer and threatened with arrest by police in 2014 for wearing a red Speedo at the water park, although the public safety officers at the water park had cleared him to enter in his Speedo.
That's annoying.
So the police were just attacking him.
And then arrested under what? Like, what cause?
Probably something about nudity or indecent exposure around children or something. But, yeah, they saw him walk in with his Speedo. Nonetheless, that's an old story. Don't get me started about the police and how they harass us. The story didn't really tell me how he gets his clients. I guess not to put his business out there. Mm-hmm. But so he met up with a potential client. I can't call them a client because I'm not even sure if they paid him. I don't know how the transaction worked beforehand, but he followed this client or potential client to a hotel room where, unbeknownst to him, a second male was hiding in the bathroom. So he walks in. He's, of course, looking at the first male to be like, all right, we're going to get a pop in, do whatever we do. Then turns and sees someone coming from the bathroom charging at him. The male from the bathroom then punches him to the floor. He holds him down. And then the first male, the client he was following, kicks him in the face. You know, they rough him down a little. But Jesse manages to get away unscathed, as he says. He detailed the event on Twitter. Mm-hmm. With a nice long post, basically like, oh, I'm really ashamed to say this because of the stigma, but I have to, you know, do my duty to warn other people. Tells everybody what happens, cautions other sex workers in the area to be like, there's a white supremacist rally coming up, you know, in the area soon. So, be really careful. So, I'm assuming his attackers were white at that.
And he suspects that they were, from that unit of
the alt-right. I'm assuming from the connotation.
Okay. Wow.
It's unclear, but I'm doubtful that he went to the police just because I already captioned his history with the police before. And with the nature of sex work and things like that, it could quickly turn on its head to where you're the one now being persecuted and whatnot. Didn't read his full Twitter post because I ain't shit. But and I don't
you
know.
Just knew you were doing this last night.
I don't know how to use Twitter. So,
oh, damn.
That's also sad.
That's crazy.
But that's what happened to Jesse. My prayers are with him. I'm sorry, because that's shitty. And it's like, how do you go out of your way if you're so homophobic to go on this site or engage this man in however you did for his services?
Because that's the level of hatred that you have for people. And it's just I don't know. I feel like sometimes when you're talking to, this is actually about a personal experience, but when you're talking to cisgender straight man, they don't see the fact that women and queer people and trans people are actually abused on the daily or whatever. But this is literally people going out of their way to commit hate crimes.
Literally, let's say they were on Backpage. You went on Backpage, made an account, transferred money into this man's account as Jesse asks for money up front. Mm-hmm. You did all of this mm-hmm. just to beat him up.
Exactly. And potentially kill him, honestly.
Yeah.
He got away, but we're not sure what was going to happen.
What would have happened.
Yeah.
This is meditated, like, pre-thought out.
Yeah. Which is why...
You didn't go to work?
Man, like, that sucks that he can't go to the police. But that's, like, why sex work needs to be decriminalized. Because you're putting sex workers at risk.
For people who want the service.
Exactly. Exactly. And then it's like, okay, here's the society... Not everybody has jobs. Not everybody can get jobs, depending on who they are or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, this is how people need to live sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like, this is how he makes his money.
I mean, if I can choose to be an architect and go through all of that, I can choose to be a sex worker and that should be fine.
Exactly. Like I'm not hurting anybody, but here people are coming into my field and purposely hurting me.
Purposely
and I can't even go to the proper authorities about it.
Because they might hurt me.
Exactly.
They've already harassed me.
They might hurt you and they might like bribe you.
Yeah.
Like, what is it? Police assault sex workers mm-hmm. so that they don't get arrested.
It's a big problem in Alaska at the moment.
In Alaska?
Yeah. We were going to do a story on it one time. I think I cut it out of the Korean events. Alaskan sex workers are saying that the police are like abusing their authority and like forcing them to do sex acts before, you know, stating that they're police officers, like they're, and it's a loophole in the law that lets them do it, and it's like it's really just abusing their powers.
That's terrible.
So now you get your sexual gratification, and I still go to jail, like, and you know you can do it because the law somehow said that they have to like perform the sex act before they can be arrested or something. So they're asking, they're also asking if like they'll do stuff like, you know, put on this condom so I know you're not a police officer and the police officer can do it and get away with it, like, with no repercussions. Whereas I'm trying to protect myself from, like, law, I don't know no words, like, criminating myself. And at the end, I'm still, like, being prosecuted. Like, I'm still being arrested. It's crazy.
That's terrible.
We'll bring that up one day and, like, do the whole facts on that.
Yeah, I want to do, like, a full-service sex worker episode. If you are or know a full-service sex worker who would like to be on the show, hit us up at ihupodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Or DM us. Mm-hmm. Or send me a Snapchat, which people do a lot, honestly.
The 18th known transgender person, a black transgender woman, was killed by police. Her name was Kiwi Herring, and she was shot and killed by police in St. Louis. She was married with 3 kids, all under the age of 9. I believe they were 4, 7, and 8, who saw her get shot and killed by the police. So basically, this is what happened. She was engaged in an argument with her neighbors after a piece of charcoal started a fire on her balcony. Now, her neighbors own a barbecue pit, and Kiwi believed that they deliberately, like, started the fire. Like, so that's arson. That's number one. Because these set of neighbors constantly harassed her about her gender and her identity and just transphobic ass, hateful ass shit. So I'm pretty sure she was in all rights to think these people really just try to burn her and her children out their home.
Yeah.
So, of course, they get into an argument. Police were called because Kiwi allegedly stabbed the neighbor and ultimately punctured a lung. Which I again feel is justified because they try to burn me and my children in my home.
Yeah.
That is literally self-defense. But of course, ancient police. The police officers arrive. There was some kind of scuffle. She still had the kitchen knife in her hand and she ended up slashing one of the police officers. That's when the police officer shot her 3 times and then an additional 2 times. Like, was she a zombie?
She was a black woman.
She was a black woman.
A black trans woman. And pretty much, no humanity.
And then, it doesn't get better, because it never gets better in these situations. Mm-hmm. The police ultimately arrest her partner.
Jesus.
For quote-unquote involvement in the assault. And now she's being charged with first-degree assault with a deadly weapon.
After her freaking partner?
Spouse?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just... died.
And so you kill my partner in front of our children, you then haul me away in front of our children.
That's exactly what they did to Philando Castile's girlfriend.
That is literally what they did.
Let's just kill your spouse and then arrest
traumatize
you,
traumatize everyone
and
involved,
and then the kid is just sitting there watching
more and more. Ultimately, the police officer that was slashed was, of course, not seriously injured. Mm-hmm. Was treated at a hospital, discharged same day,
and allowed to go back to his family.
Mm-hmm. Nice. It's work. Probably.
Must be nice.
Of course, people in St. Louis gathered the streets for a candlelight vigil and took to the streets to protest. Her spouse is being held on $80,000 bond, and the family's trying to raise money for the bond, for funeral expenses, and counseling for the kid.
Oh, do they have like a GoFundMe or something?
Yes, we will link that in the description box.
I will find it and link it. You know, just back to that belief that Black people are like crazy strong.
Oh my god!
Like, you should be, if you're trained properly, I think you should be able to take down someone non-lethally who has a knife, especially if it's a kitchen knife.
And then the thing about it is, I never even realized that until after the whole Trey Martin incident, mm-hmm. at how they see us as these superhuman things. And then I started seeing it in like the media everywhere. And there was this one commercial. It'll always come back to me. It's this one commercial where there's a burrito flying around. I don't remember what it was. Probably for like Grubhub or something. And like the burrito was flying. The burrito's flying through apartments, and it hits one white woman in the face, and she falls down. Yeah. And it hits one white man in the face, and he falls down. And it gets to the Black man, and the burrito has to hit him 3 times. Whack, 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 before he goes down. And that's when I really opened my eyes, like, yo, this is crazy.
And that is in the back of these dumbass police officers' minds, like, wow, I really need to shoot this person 5 times, even though they have a kitchen knife in
their
hand.
It was like 3 times, and then you paused. It was like, oh, no, we gotta do it again 2 more times, just in case, pop out. Like, that's so crazy.
That is so crazy.
Oh my gosh, I can't. And of course, police were trying to misgender her and all types of stuff, and it's just like, I can't.
Also, fuck the neighbors.
Like, you really tried to set their house on fire.
Yeah, I wish there was some sort of repercussion in this situation, but I don't see how it could possibly happen. Like, we know the cops are not even gonna get anything for doing this.
They try to dismiss it as, oh, we've been here before, but for domestic issues, not between the neighbor and Kiwi, but between, like, insinuating it's between Kiwi and her partner. And it's mm-hmm. like, y'all are shit.
Yeah.
Y'all ain't shit. Y'all are shit.
And never gonna be shit.
Oh, it's just so sad. I'm tired. I just can't. This is when you need that glass of red wine, Sam.
Yeah. We will link the ways to help Kiwi's family in the description. Mm-hmm. Sorry to bring you down.
That's what we're here for. Life is sad.
Bring you down, build you up.
Something funny, just to lift your spirits a little. All right. So a couple steals a $1,200 trailer and then stops mid-getaway to have sex.
Makes sense. Actually sounds like relationship goals, honestly.
Some Bonnie and Clyde. Exactly. Well, so basically they're caught on camera. The man is stealing a trailer from a pool company at Twin Lakes Pool and Barbecue. Don't ask me where that is.
And then also just like, why?
They saw it and it was like, it was tied to a fence, which was weird.
That's a nice ass trailer. We should totally get that trailer.
Like, no one seems to be claiming it right now. It's ours. That's now. That's our trailer. White people shit. That's a Caucasian. Let me claim thing, because no one else is here to claim it. It's mine now. I saw it. No take backs. Yes. Like, what?
We just Columbus this fucking trailer real quick.
It said that he untied the trailer from the fence, attached to his car, then had sex with his partner in crime, and then drove off. I watched the video, which I assume is time-lapsed, because the video was only like a minute and 23 seconds, mm-hmm. and it was like, you could see it kind of like jump and like clip.
Oh, I was going to say, maybe they just be fucking wild crazy out here. Like, but basically, trying to get that quickest nut ever.
So basically,
no foreplay.
The stealing of the trailer was exactly.
I'm revved up.
I'm ready. So basically, in the video, it shows the man. He gets out of the pickup truck. He walks around to the back of it. Then he walks back to the driver's side of the truck. He's standing there with the door open for a while. A woman's head kind of pops up. He pushes it back down. And then a couple seconds later, while he pushes her head down, he's just like looking around, just standing there looking around, hands on his hips.
Be natural.
Just looking around. And then he pushes her head back down. He's looking around. Then he kind of moves away from the car, pulls his pants up. So he's kind of see like he's rearranging his pants and stuff. He walks back to the back of the pickup truck. And then at the end of the video, the truck is just kind of rolling away. So I guess that's the point where they kind of start to drive off. Uh-huh. I don't know if they had like P&V sex because.
P&V sex?
P&V sex.
Oh,
because,
yeah.
Because the way it looked more like she was giving him head or something.
Yeah.
But that's it. The man and his partner are still at large. The sheriff's department is still looking for tips to catch him.
And they took the trailer.
Yeah, they took the trailer. They that's their trailer now. Like,
that's kind of lit, honestly.
They not playing. That was their trailer now.
Like, I don't condone stealing, but I kind of hope they don't get caught. It's like one of the stories for the grandkids.
Do you know that's actually a question and like a personality test that assesses, sorry, mental health again, that assesses for like deviant behavior and antisocial behavior. So how you feel like criminals getting away with the law. And
did
stuff.
I just fail?
No, there's a series of other questions, not just one question. But I answered yes to the same question that criminals should get away with it if they don't get caught. Like, yeah. Then they should just get away
yeah,
with
it. Yeah, in certain cases. I'm just like, need that trailer? Like,
you know, petty crimes. That's a trailer.
Exactly.
$1,200. You shouldn't tie something $1,200 worth of money to a trailer.
Not to blame the victim.
Not though. To blame the victim, but
it's a bad idea.
We're just criminals, y'all. That's all it is.
Oh, what's next? Period.
This story's kind of old, but it's getting new airtime. So, and we missed it back in 2016. So, we're
talking about 2016 story.
Yeah, so it originally happened in 2016. Uh-huh. And now the case is being retried by the American Civil Liberties of Georgia. So basically in 2016, Alicia Coleman was a worker for a 911. Mm-hmm. She worked there for almost 10 years. Hmm. And she received her first disciplinary write-up after she leaked her menstrual blood through her clothes and on her chair. And she was told by her supervisor to go home and change. She went home and changed, got the write-up. They basically said, if this ever happens again, you're fired.
Ooh, that just seems harsh.
As a woman with heavy periods that leaks almost constantly.
Yeah.
That's like, and my fear is
why
leaking.
Is it a disciplinary? Why isn't it just like, hey, Brenda, you're right. You need somebody to like fill in. I don't know how 911 dispatch centers work.
Yeah.
But I'm assuming you probably have very little breaks to go.
Well, I worked for 311, which is similar. Just
you've literally done it. You know everything. I'm so glad you're here.
Which is not the same because there's more urgency in 911. Mm-hmm. You know, in that we're trying to save people lives.
Yeah.
But like when you're supposed to be on shift, you're supposed to be on shift. Like there's a limited amount of people working, mm-hmm. especially during the time of the day it is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to have someone go home lags the call system. Like mm-hmm. now people are waiting longer and longer to get connected to a dispatcher. And when you need help,
yeah.
because 911 is for help, that's kind of dangerous.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, again, it happened that April. I don't remember when the first one happens because I take good details. It happened again where she leaked menstrual blood on the carpet as she was on her way to the bathroom. So she was like, probably like, oh, I feel like I'm going to leak.
On her way.
Let me like get to the bathroom and kind of circumvent this. And it just fell down her pants or something.
Mm-hmm.
She was sent home. So not even told to go home and change. She was just sent home. And then the next day she was fired. Her supervisor citing failure to practice high standards of personal hygiene and maintain a clean and neat appearance while on duty, quote unquote.
This feels so wrong. I feel like it's like a kid being sent home for
peeing on themselves.
Yeah, like, and then just like, don't come back to school, bitch. Like,
yeah, like I can't.
Couldn't help it.
Really can't help it.
Yeah, like you bleed through a jumbo super tampon, you bleed through it like that. Just,
yeah, like I used to wear the biggest purple, like always. We're not plugging always because they don't sponsor us. But their pads and would literally leak through in like 2 hours.
Yeah.
Like heavy menstrual. And mm-hmm. it was like, it would be a spot on my pants. So I'm always asking my friends, do I have a spot on my pants? I'm always checking my seat when I get up too mm-hmm. fast. You know, when you get up too fast, you feel it come down. You sneeze, you feel it come down. Like it just all feels like. Yeah. We're swimming in menstrual blood when we have it.
Yeah.
You cough. Oh, my God. You blink too hard. Oh, Jesus. Like, it you cannot help it.
It's rough out there.
Alicia cited this as a symptom of premenopause.
Okay.
So, of course, she sued because she felt violated against her right. Like, she can't help this. It's mm-hmm. some kind of discrimination. It was dismissed by the court because They said it wasn't related to pregnancy or childbirth, as she alleged. So there was some kind of statute that tied it to that. Mm-hmm. They were just like, bitch, you have
a heavy... So your heavy period has to be tied to something for it to... Like, that's just my body. I literally can't make it stop. Like,
well, we're going to get to that. So they were basically like, it's just a heavy period and you need to be cleaner. That's what the court was like. Now the American Civil Liberty Union is... claiming that periods and premenopause is covered on the Title VII mm-hmm. of the Civil Rights Act, which prohibits discrimination in the workplace on the basis of sex. You know, as a woman or a person with a uterus, yeah. this is literally me. This is like a part of me. I can't control it. I can take all the precautions I can. Like, literally, I'll be on my period. I'll have on a tampon, a panty liner to catch whatever else may come out if I'm like untimely and changing my tampon, and two pairs of shorts, and then black leggings. Like, I wear black leggings throughout my whole period just in case, like, and sometimes that doesn't cover me. Like, this is literally just what I deal with.
Yeah,
like, I can't. I feel like I've leaked at work before. Like, that's, it's embarrassing and it's humiliating to leak, just number one, because of the stigma around periods and menstruating. But then to be sent home and fired for it is like, I'm already dealing with enough.
And then just, like, calling it a disciplinary action as if she was, like, doing it on purpose. Like, I'm just going to leak on these people's shares on purpose.
Like, it's not like I walked into work. I can't even say it's not like I walked into work with like period blood on my pants, because it could happen on the ride there. But like, it's not the same as a wrinkled shirt or like taco stains on my shirt. Like, I can't really see it. You know, that's, it's not the same. Like, I literally cannot, I can control eating the taco before I come in a white shirt. I cannot control the things that are falling out of my uterus and my vagina right now.
Yeah.
I cannot.
Yeah. Do you think there's any provisions that the workplace, her workplace in particular, and then just in general workplaces can do to, like, help people with uteruses who have heavy periods? Because that's, like,
don't send them home and discipline them for things they can't control. Like,
yeah.
Of course, Alicia can take, not victim blame or anything, like, but we all, we as women, people with uterus, been dealing with our periods since about, you know, 13 and up. Some decades, depending on how you feel. So we automatically try to take precautions.
Yeah.
You know, so allowing us breaks so that we can change our pads and our tampons in a timely manner is okay, you know, especially because you get like 1-2 15-minute breaks. And then some bathroom breaks, but at 911, how often can you take a bathroom break when you really have to be on the phone? So it's like, if I come to my supervisor, I say, you know, it's that time of the month, you know, I'm just going to need an extra couple bathroom breaks.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can do the rest to kind of time them or like stick some tissue up there, like whatever I can do. But like giving us that opportunity, that space.
Yeah, exactly.
To make these precautions and keep up with them so that we don't have these accidents. Because she didn't want to leak. Yeah, unless she was just like, I'm just going to take these calls, and what happens, happens.
Yeah, you're ruining your clothes. It doesn't feel good to sit in your own blood,
just
honestly.
Just this whole stigma around it that, like, unnerves you from the moment your period starts.
Yeah, exactly.
And you have to be outside of your home. Yeah. There's this stigma that just, it kills your anxiety. You're just like, I can't, I just might as well stand all day. Because if I sit down and get up, who knows what's going to happen? Like, and now I'm standing for 18-hour days.
When, like, employers... I haven't had a real job in years. When they set break schedule, that's not even a thing that happens. Or when they allot for a time that you can take a break, like the time that you can take a lunch break, are they even factoring that in?
No.
That is so, you know what that reminds me of? Quick tangent. I was on my way to Ghana. In Ghana, when we were on study abroad, I'm saying we, like Shanika is still here. In Ghana, when my class was on a study abroad, we were heading from Accra, like more to the northern region of the country or whatever. And the driver is just like going straight, like no bathroom breaks. Like we're trying to get here at a time. And we go to our professor like, yo, that doesn't make any sense. Like people like have to use the bathroom, like for reasons people have to use the bathroom or whatever. And he's like, oh, just hold it in. Meanwhile, like, I think there was like two or three people on their periods at that time, and like his, he didn't factor a bathroom break in whatsoever or whatever, because he didn't have to, because he didn't, he's never experienced having a period.
Even still, he's a man, he could pee in a bottle, he didn't care.
Exactly, even that. So when we actually did take a bathroom break, we stopped in the middle of like a wooded area or whatever, and people like had to change their tampons in the middle of a fucking forest. That's fucked up.
Even like, talking about just hold it. How long are we going to be driving? My bladder's not set up for that. Some people have incontinent issues. Some people have bladder issues. Like, you don't know. And I shouldn't have to disclose that to get, you know, proper accommodations. And that's what the ACLU is alleging, that it was, like, against her right to, like, privacy and, like, she's being discriminated against. Because I shouldn't have to, I shouldn't have to have to say, I'm on my period, I need special accommodations. Like, I shouldn't have to. If I chose to, I could. I should just be able to say, you know, I need special accommodations for a personal reason, a hygienic reason, so that I can keep my job and not be fired for unhygienic practices. Like,
yeah, exactly.
It's ironic. I feel like this podcast should just be ain't shit in the world. Like, that's all we talk about. Life sucks, y'all. Especially if you're in these intersections of all of these marginalized populations. Life sucks.
Yeah, that is the point. Yes, that's the point.
On to some better news, and I like this one because it's all in my field and stuff. Yay. Which makes me happy. So basically, the tagline says, we don't know anything about LGBTQ health, which is right. Mm-hmm. From an academic standpoint, we sure as hell don't. And the University of California in San Francisco campus is looking to change that. So they're conducting a research, which is colloquially, I'm guessing, named Pride Study. I know that's not going to be the name of the article once they publish it. Mm-hmm. But they're calling it the Pride Study. And basically, it's set to be a multi-generational cohort study, mm-hmm. which basically means it's going to be one group of people of multiple generations, multiple ages, and they're going to follow this group of people for several decades of their life.
Okay. Oh,
that is a multi-generational cohort.
Ah, thank you for explaining that.
Study. Basically, what's going to happen is that the participants are going to complete a profile with personal information, demographic information, contact information. They're going to answer a questionnaire that the researchers have made up, asking several questions on a wide range of topics. Mm-hmm. And then they are going to repeat the questionnaire, giving out the questionnaire annually. I don't know if they're in this study is going to always be annually every year for the next several decades, but mm-hmm. usually it's like the initial year, a year follow-up, then 5 years mm-hmm. later, then 10 years later, yeah. then 15 year, mm-hmm. years later, depending on their resources and stuff. Mm-hmm. So enrollment for this study began earlier this year in May. So far they've had 6,000 participants. Hmm. They're hoping for 100,000 people over the next 10 years.
Okay.
It's open to anyone who lives in the U.S. that identifies as a gender or sexual minority mm-hmm. and is over the age of 18. They're looking to drop the age limit to 13 in the future. Hmm. I don't know when or why, but it's hard to do studies with kids because you have to get their parental consent. Okay. And you know, if you're one of these minorities with parents, it may not always be that good for you.
Yeah, exactly.
We're gonna put the registration link in the description box just in case you're one of those people, you identify as such, and you want to help people learn about LGBTQ health issues that have yet been discussed.
Facts. Especially academically if you're researched, like a racial minority on top of this.
On that. So quickly, it says that it takes about 30 to 60 minutes to complete the survey, depending on how you're answering it, whether it's on the whether it's like through your cell phone or on the computer. There's versions in Spanish and other languages they're developing. So they're trying to like reach everyone they can mm-hmm. and be as inclusive as they can. This is the first study I know of to really research LGBTQ communities and their health issues. Mm-hmm. So it's lit. Like I have to wait like 50 years for them to publish this article.
The data will be
there.
But
like I'm waiting. Like I'm ready. Like, yeah. I need to read this.
That's why it's so important to like make a headway on things now, because it takes so long for things to actually happen.
Yeah, like people don't realize when the commercial says, oh, there's a new drug for cancer, they've been testing that bitch for like the last 20 years.
Exactly.
Like they were doing it on animals first. They had to go through several trials on animals before they could even do people. Then they have to do several people travels mm-hmm. and follow them for up to at least 5-10 years to make sure there are no side effects. And then the drug comes out, there's side effects anyway. There's the side effects that they state in that long ass commercial, but then there's side effects that they don't state that they never knew was going to happen. Then they have to mm-hmm. recall the drug.
Yeah.
Like that whole, you remember the Yaz birth control that was lit in the early 2000s? Yeah. Now you hear nothing about it. That's basically what happened with Yaz. Like shit pops up that you don't know. Now you're being sued when you already listed the side effects you knew was going to happen. Mm-hmm. And niggas was like, nah, there's more. Mm-hmm. There's more.
Science is not fast.
It's not.
Science is a slow ass process, which is another reason why people in these communities, I'm saying it like it's easy, but like should get into science. But it's not easy to get into science or STEM, especially when you're poor.
Yeah.
But if you like think that you can't do it, this is my little encouragement, my little piece of advice. Like, try.
Motivation.
I'm not giving you any resources to do so, but there are resources out there.
If you're already someone that identifies in this spectrum and you're already in academia, Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yes,
seriously. Push forward, stride forward.
Yeah.
Start a study.
Yeah.
Once you get the funds, because getting the funds is hard as hell to begin with. Mm-hmm. We understand. Shit's hard. We know. Exactly. We poor. We know.
We don't have the funds ourselves.
We don't.
Is that it for fuck that?
That is. We're moving on to the segment.
Fuck it, which is our topic of the day. And today we're talking about exotic dancers.
Yes.
And we're here with Fasthia.
Yes.
Do you want to just introduce yourself?
Well, I'm from New York, mm-hmm. the Bronx, more specifically. Mm-hmm. I'm 22. I've been dancing since I was 19, mm-hmm. on and off, because, you know, life.
Yeah, we know.
Yeah, it was like kind of expected, but I mean, nobody really expects to start doing that ever.
Mm. What do you mean it was kind of expected?
Like, just with how my life was going from the beginning, it was like I would end up in that type of work eventually. Mm-hmm. So, and plus just the type of person I am, I'm very free-spirited and you have a lot of freedom with that type of work. So, mm-hmm. you know.
Okay, so origins. You started at 19. Mm-hmm. What led you to start, and how did you get into it?
It's probably the most classic way ever.
Okay.
I was in college.
Okay. Yeah.
And obviously my family didn't have, you know.
Nobody's family does. The means to put you
not
through
in New
school.
York. Yeah, exactly. Not colored people in New York.
Yeah, and speaking about colored people, I was going to college in a somewhat racist town. It's sad to say, but upstate.
Oh, mm-hmm. yes.
Yeah. So I couldn't really get a job mm-hmm. in the very few establishments there were mm-hmm. in the area. And the club was actually probably 45 minutes away, but that was like the only place I could get a job.
That is so ironic.
Yeah.
You won't pay me, but you'll look at me dance for you.
Yeah, I know.
And then pay me there.
Exactly. Like, okay.
I could just.
But if they saw me in the street, they'd be like,
that's terrible. One question I had. So I know when I hit you up, you said that you danced. Mm-hmm. Do you identify with the term stripper or no?
Not really. I don't just do exotic dance in like uh-huh. gentlemen clubs. Mm-hmm. I also do go-go and belly dancing. So okay. I prefer exotic entertainer.
Okay.
You know.
Okay. So back to how you started.
I was just chilling in my dorm one day, and mm-hmm. my friend, my only friend on campus, she was like, I have something to ask you, but I need to ask you in person. I was like, what? I was like, is she like pregnant or something? Like, what's going on? I was like super nervous. So I went over, and she told me that she had been looking for a job, but she couldn't find any. I was mm-hmm. like, yeah, I know. I'm looking for a job too. And she was like, do you want to like come to this club with me? They offered me a job as a dancer, but I don't want to go alone. Mm-hmm. And I just looked at her. I was like, do you know who you're talking to? Of course I want to come. Like, like what? Like, I'll do anything with you. You're like my best friend.
Aww.
And like, we both love dancing and performing. So mm-hmm. I was like, we need to do this.
And had you been like a dancer growing up? Like
sort of like
classical dance, quote unquote.
Yeah. Yeah. More in like theater and stuff like that. Okay. Like school plays, you know.
Cool. So that club, was that a gentleman's club or?
Yeah, it was called a cabaret.
The cabaret. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it's all the same thing.
Oh, okay. And like, how was that like? Like, what was your first gig like?
Was there like an audition process?
It wasn't really an audition. They kind of just throw you up there and see what you got. It's mm-hmm. like
in front of customers, patrons.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
It's like when you throw a baby in the water and mm-hmm. they learn how to swim.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of exactly like that. But we didn't want to go alone because, you know, we're young and mm-hmm. we were like, oh, my God, I have to like take my clothes off in front of these strange guys. They were like, you guys could go together. And we like crushed it.
Hey. That's lit. How do exotic dancers get paid?
Mainly tips. Mm-hmm. Like if you're on stage, they give you a tip.
Mm-hmm.
Or when it comes to dances, most of the money goes to the house. It works differently in mm-hmm. different clubs. Like some clubs, they make them pay before they go in, or they pay as they go.
You mean the patrons or the
customers? Okay. Yeah, yeah, the patrons. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if they're making the patrons pay before they go in, do you get a portion of that or no?
Yes, yes. Okay. We get most of it. We get at least 2/3.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Depending on what type of club it is. Mm-hmm. You know, some clubs take more, some clubs don't take that much. Mm-hmm. I've been in a club where they make them pay per song. Some clubs make them pay, like, you know, in bigger time intervals, like 30 minutes, an hour, 15 minutes, or just one song, you know. Mm-hmm.
Again, this is the customers or the dancers?
The customers.
Paying for the song?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Wow.
And it's kind of awkward. Lap dances when you have to pay attention to the timing, like mm-hmm. how long you've been in there. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes they'll have someone come into the room and, like, kill the whole moon. They're like, all right, your time's up.
Wow. So when you first started working at that club, you then started doing, like, lap dances and stuff?
Yeah, I had my first lap dance my first night there.
Oh, wow. How did that go?
It was kind of funny because he was actually really nice. Mm-hmm. He was, like, he was pretty old, and he was just, like, a jolly guy, kind of. He kind of reminded me of Santa Claus, but without the white beard. Mm-hmm. And he was just really nice, and he didn't really touch me too much because mm-hmm. he knew it was my first time. Mm-hmm. He asked before he could touch me.
Consent.
Yeah.
I don't know what the touching dynamics are like. I didn't even know that they could touch you. Did you know that?
Yeah, it depends. Like, especially if it's a lap dance, of course, they're expecting to cop a feel at some point.
Oh, okay.
Some girls don't let them touch them at all. Mm-hmm. Like, they'll stand at least 10 feet away from them and just let them watch. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I'm pretty comfortable with, you know, touching when it comes to that. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't mind sitting on their lap and mm-hmm. letting them, like, caress me or whatever. Mm-hmm. If they want to do anything else, of course, they have to ask. Or, like, if they get out of hand because, you know, they've been drinking and, yeah. you know, they're like babies. You have to, you know, keep them in line. Uh-huh. And after a while, you kind of just get used to it.
Mm-hmm. So what is, like, the atmosphere and culture like? I guess maybe at the clubs up there and then, like, the clubs down
here?
Yeah.
It's totally different. Even within the city, every single club is different. Because mm-hmm. I've been in Queens, and I've danced in two clubs in Queens, and they're completely different from each other. Like, one is kind of sketchy, the other one's, like, really classy.
Can you name drop,
if you would like to? One is called Cityscapes. Mm-hmm. That's the sketchy one. Everybody knows about Cityscapes.
Is that the one on Queens Boulevard? I
think. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The one that's always...
Oh, I see.
And then the other one is Show Palace. It's fairly new, you know, on the LIC.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. I prefer that one, but the only thing I don't like is that I have to get all nude sometimes.
Mm. Oh, they allow you to do all nude?
Yeah, it's an all nude club.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you don't walk around all nude. People think, oh, the girls are going to be walking around butt naked 24/7. No.
No. So what do you mean you have to get all nude? Like, it's a requirement to work at that club?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like, if you do lap dances, like, mm-hmm. you have to get all nude.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Even for the lap dances?
Yeah, especially for the lap dances, because that's what they're paying for.
Wow.
Because there's a section where you could do a regular lap dance mm-hmm. where you only take off your top. Mm-hmm. And then, obviously, the more expensive lap dances, which is the one where you make most of the money, mm-hmm. that's when you have to get all nude because it's in the VIP section, and that's what they're expecting.
Mm-hmm. What's the price differential between those?
Like, the only topless lap dance is, like, $25. Mm-hmm. And then the other lap dances start at, like, $50 and go up to, like, $300 for
Whoa.
An hour. Yeah.
And, like, how many lap dances would you do on a night?
Depends on the night. Like, sometimes I don't get any lap dances.
Yeah.
And then there's some times where I get lap dances back to back. And sometimes I'll only get one lap dance, but it's not just the lap dances. Sometimes there'll just be a customer there who just wants to sit and talk, and they don't even get a lap dance, but they still pay you for your time.
Wow. What do they talk about?
Random shit. The most... Like, I can't even begin. Like, they talk about anything. Like how, you know, you're sitting down, like talking to your friends, you just talk about random shit, like food, games, TV, people, same thing.
And do you listen or are you like actively?
I actually do listen, which is probably one of the reasons why I had a lot of regulars. Most of the girls there, I noticed they don't like to talk with the customers. They don't like to get too close to them. But I mean, you don't have to get all in their business, just make them feel
nice.
Yeah.
Just a nice person.
Yeah, they just, they're lonely.
I see.
My question was, do you feel like they're rambling or they're talking is coming out of like nervousness, or it's like they just really came to talk?
Sometimes it is, especially the younger ones. Like if they haven't been in the strip club too many times, they're usually kind of nervous. I had one regular, I can't say his name because
of course not.
But he was really sweet. He was a younger guy. He worked in IT. He was like super smart, like ridiculously smart. So I liked talking to him because he always had something interesting to say. And he only ever got like 15-minute lap dances. Sometimes he'll get a half an hour. But he didn't want to get longer than that because he would get a little
excited.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, like, he would tell me. He was very honest. And he was like, okay. He was like, if I get out of hand, don't take it offensively. Just put me in my place. I was like, okay.
Wait, what happens if they do get excited? Do they just...
Sometimes they try to hide it. Sometimes, like, they tell me. Like, they let me know one way or another. I'm going to find out.
Yeah.
Even if they try to hide it, I'm like... It's okay.
I mean, I
it's
would just
natural.
I would assume that would be what's supposed to happen. I mean,
I'm doing my job, right?
Yeah, exactly.
If
that means I'm good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a natural reaction to when you see something like that.
What's the demographic like at, I guess, maybe the clubs, and I'm talking in terms of patrons, the clubs upstate and then maybe the clubs here?
Well, the clubs upstate, it's like...
In terms of like age, race...
Most of the guys upstate were, like, older. Every now and then, the only time I really see young people in the club anywhere is when they're, like, celebrating something.
Yeah, okay.
But the only people who go to the club, like, just to hang out or, like, just talk or have a drink or whatever is, like, older Caucasian guys.
Does that go for down here as well?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Sometimes I'll see African American and Asian, a lot of like Arabics. Like they come from all over for like, but usually if they're older, they're only there for one thing. But sometimes, I'm sorry to say, like the Middle Eastern guys, they're the rudest.
Wow.
Yeah, they are just. They think you're there to do what we're told not to do. Which if you know what I mean.
Explicitly. Have sex?
Yeah.
Okay.
They think it's, you know, I don't know what kind of clubs they've been to. Yeah.
They think it's more sex work than we're actually provided.
Yeah, because they don't know. They're not from here. They don't, they think that America is like just.
Naked women everywhere.
Yeah. They think we're all hoes.
So how do you and how do the clubs like ensure you guys' safety, like the dancers' safety in situations like
that? Well, at Show Palace, they were really tight. They had cameras in the VIP, and you know, if somebody was trying to manhandle me or whatever, I would let them know there's a camera in here and there's a security guard right outside. So if I scream, they're gonna come in and you know, drag you out of here. So I just let them know. Some girls don't let them know. They just try to keep quiet because I think they probably get scared that they're going to try to leave or I don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know, you have to be tough.
Yeah.
Also, it's not just the club that's protecting you. You have to protect yourself because no one's going to be there for you all the time.
Yeah.
You know, when you leave, people could try to follow you. The club's not responsible for you after you leave.
What do you do when that happens?
Has that ever happened to you?
Yes, once. And I didn't want to, so I didn't pull that out, but I always carry mace with me. So one time when I was at Cityscapes and I was going to the bus, this guy was like trying to like talk to me, and I was like, yeah, I'm going home. If you want to see me, I'll be here tomorrow. Mm-hmm. He just kept following me as I was walking to the bus. He's like, oh, I'll give you a ride home. You know, my car's right there. I'm like, no, I don't need a ride. Mm-hmm. And he just like, they're very persistent. Mm-hmm. Like, he already followed me down the block. I'm like, all right.
That's New York niggas for you.
Yeah, honestly, even if you weren't dancing.
Even if you're not a dancer.
Exactly, exactly.
They're following you down the street.
Yeah.
Yes. And that's happened to me even when I wasn't at the club, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like, I don't think it's just something that just dancers or people who work at night deal with. It's just females in general, mm-hmm. especially in the city. Because dudes are just like that.
Yeah.
Especially when they have some alcohol in their system.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What do you, what would you say the demographic is like for the people who actually dance at the club? Or the clubs?
It's actually pretty wide. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I always see different types of girls at any club that I go to. Okay. So that's not really a problem. Unless you're like in Manhattan where they're like very picky. Mm-hmm. You'd only see like European type looking girls, mm-hmm. and sometimes Asian. You rarely see like exotic girls, I guess, mm-hmm. meaning like Spanish and like African American or Caribbean. Mm-hmm. They just look very plain there. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm.
No minority women whatsoever.
Strict.
And how is it like in terms of, is the age demographic for the girls generally the same?
Mm-mm. Oh, really? I've actually seen some pretty mature dancers. Mm-hmm. Like, and they're actually really good. Uh-huh. They make money. Like, I get jealous sometimes. I'm like, damn, you're like 40 years old.
Yeah, wow.
But they still look good.
Yeah.
Because they take care of themselves.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they may have been dancing for 20 years now.
Yeah, exactly.
They got the experience. They know how it goes.
Yeah.
Another question I have is this is kind of weird, but the demographic for the body types of the dancers?
Huh. She's at home.
Okay, so I auditioned for this one club in Manhattan. I forgot what club it was, mm-hmm. but every single girl in that dressing room had work done. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Everybody looked the same. Same tits, same booty, same hair, mm-hmm. same face.
Yeah.
It was mm-hmm. kind of disgusting.
Just like a cookie cutter.
Yeah.
Would you say it's the Instagram model look? Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I associate with
strippers nowadays. Yeah. You know, exotic dancers. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but at Cityscapes, though, they have a day shift and a night shift. Mm-hmm. And I usually work the day shift because I cannot do the night shift. And the reason why is because of my body. Mm-hmm. I'm very petite. Yeah. And during the day shift, that's okay because they get mostly like the worker guys, mm-hmm. like guys who have like real jobs and, you know, they're more down to earth.
Yeah.
So they like girls who are natural, whether you're petite or thick or whatever, mm-hmm. they like just the like natural girls. Mm-hmm. So, but in the nighttime, that's when all the wannabe rappers, mm-hmm. and all the younger guys come out who want to like throw bands.
Yeah.
And want to see that Instagram cookie cutter.
So all the girls that come in, they have work done. They have makeup artists that come in and do their makeup, like beat their face to the gods.
I didn't know
that
they, life.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They like do their weave. Mm-hmm. Like they have, like, it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, I wish I could do that because that's, like, awesome to, like, get your hair and nails and makeup done right mm-hmm. there in the club mm-hmm. and then go make money. But obviously, I can't do that.
Mm-hmm. Would you ever consider, because I know some people specifically get work done so that they're more lucrative. Yeah. Would you ever do that?
No. Mm-hmm. I met this girl once when I first started working there, and mm-hmm. I tried the night shift a couple times.
Yeah.
So I was talking to this one girl, and she was, like, so excited. She was, like, going on about how she's about to get her body done, mm-hmm. like, her breasts.
Yeah.
And she was, like, so excited about it, like, if it was a car or something. I'm like, she's like, I've been saving up for how many months, blah, blah, blah. And I don't know. She sounded happy about it, but I couldn't, like, I felt bad for her mm-hmm. that she was so excited about changing herself like that mm-hmm. and going under the knife and spending that much money on something that's mm-hmm. probably going to kill her.
Mm-hmm. I want to do an episode about that surgery. So now we're going to take a quick break to read a message from our sponsor.
Blue Apron is the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. Blue Apron's mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. Blue Apron achieves this by supporting a more sustainable food system, setting the highest standards for ingredients, and building a community of home chefs.
Blue Apron has established partnerships with over 150 local farms, fisheries, and ranchers across the United States. As a result, seafood is sourced sustainably under standards developed in partnership with the Monterey Bay Aquarium Seafood Watch. Beef, chicken, and pork come from responsibly raised animals. Produce is sourced from farms that practice regenerative farming. Because Blue Apron ships the exact amount of each ingredient required for a recipe, they are reducing food waste.
Cooking together builds strong family bonds. Research shows that Blue Apron families cook nearly 3 times more often. Those who spend a lot at restaurants or high-end grocery chains can now spend under $10 per person for a delicious meal.
Some featured upcoming meals are summer vegetable and egg paninis with Calabrian's chili mayonnaise and capri salad, soy glazed pork and rice cakes with bok choy and marinated green beans, skillet vegetable chili with cornmeal and cheddar drop biscuits, and garlic butter shrimp and corn with green bean salad and roasted purple tomatoes. And yeah, I've been on this Blue Apron grind for like what, a couple of months now, and I love it. I'm cooking things I have never cooked before, things I have never thought about. Like, who uses capers, really?
I don't even know what those are.
That's why it's so good. And then also, I kind of like, I'm an artistic person who's really not good at art. So like, if there's something where it's like, oh, I can follow this, like if I can knit something or sew mm-hmm. something or like do exactly what I'm told, but it's still creative expression, I like to do that because it like gets my mind off of things. So this is your ability to do that, but you don't have to go to the store and pick all of the things up, and they tell you exactly what to do so you can't fuck it up, and then you get to eat it in the end.
Now, it sounds like Blue Apron is something I've been looking for my whole life, and this is secretly why I joined this podcast, to get these benefits, because it's like, one, I just spent $80 worth of dollars in the grocery store for like 1 week's worth of meals.
Yeah,
I had to go and like hand select. I had to make a list of everything I needed, hand select these things at the supermarket, yeah. and think of a way to cook it. Exactly. When Blue Apron does
it, does it for you?
And I just gotta cook it, and it's lit. And they introducing me to foods I ain't never heard of.
Exactly.
Nah.
Yes. So you can check out this week's menu and get your first 3 meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/inner. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/inner. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Let's get back to the show.
All right.
Are there specific things that you do, not in terms of surgery, but to like prepare yourself for dancing? Like, do you work out in a specific way, or do you practice routines, or?
I try to stay active pretty much. I don't really work out, because mm-hmm. if I work out too much, it's going to be a bad thing, because I lose weight, like it just disappears. Mm-hmm. So I have to like keep track and like stay on top of that and make sure I don't lose too much weight.
Yeah.
So I try to gain weight most yeah. of the time. Uh-huh. It's weird. I pretty much do the opposite of what everybody else does. Yeah. But I still like work out, you know, try to like keep the booty right, mm-hmm. squats and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Nothing too crazy. I just try to keep my mind right most of the time. How That's what's more important that? For me. Because it's like I do yoga. Mm-hmm. Because that keeps your mind and your body in line. Mm-hmm. I just try to stay positive all the time. I try not to let everything else in life get to me, because when I get to the club, it's very emotionally draining. Not even just physically. The physical part is easy because I love dancing.
Yeah.
It's just the mental drain.
Why would you say it's emotionally draining?
Because, like, you're dealing with so many different types of people in such a short amount of time. Mm-hmm. And then, like, it's influenced by alcohol and drugs sometimes. Yeah. And then you have, like, these guys over here, like, trying to get you to do stuff that you don't want to do. Then you have girls like, oh, you know, why you took that money? That was my money. He threw it at me. Like, if they're, like, on the stage at the same time, they get in fights and stuff. Or, like, oh, wow. I don't know. It's just really, it's a cutthroat environment. Mm-hmm. So you have to, like, stay strong.
A little prying, but are you partaking in the alcohol and or drugs?
Sometimes. I can't lie.
Does the club allow that for dancers to use they don't, alcohol?
Well, yeah, they let us drink, but we could drink whatever we want. We just, if we get too drunk, they're like, you got to go home, like, you know, get some rest, you know, chill out. You made your money. Good for you. But you're getting too lit. They don't really get mad at you for getting drunk. But if it's like consistent, then they're like, all right, you need to like change something up or else you won't be able to work here no more. About the drugs, of course, the club tells you not to do drugs or whatever, but I mean, everybody does drugs.
That's true.
I don't do it right there in the club. Like, I go outside, handle my business. I try not to do anything in the club, no matter what it is. Like, if it's something they are against, I'm like, all right, I won't do it here then. That's it.
So what kind of drugs are you using?
I was also curious.
I won't say marijuana because that's, I don't consider it a drug. It's a plant. But sometimes I do cocaine. But in very small amounts, though. I don't like it that much, but it's fun to like help me stay awake.
Okay.
Like sometimes I don't even do it with the, it's not just from like customers. Sometimes I'll get my own stash and I'll just keep it on me like somewhere, you know, concealed, of course. And like if I'm feeling, you know, out of whack and I can't really get into the groove, I, you know, I'll do a bump and I'm like, all right, I'm jazzed up, you know, just something to help you survive the night.
How many days a week do you work?
Well, now I haven't been doing it as much. I'll go like probably like once every few weeks or so.
Okay.
Because I got a real job now.
Oh, okay.
You know, I'm trying to like, you know, switch it up, change my life, get my shit together.
Okay.
I might want to have kids one day, maybe. But I used to do it like probably like 4 to 5 days when I was doing it full time.
Yeah. And that was enough to like sustain. And you live in the Bronx, you said?
Yep. Okay. Well, actually, at that time, I was living in Manhattan. I moved around a lot because of that. Because in the Bronx, I was living with my mom. And she wasn't having it with me coming home at like 3 a.m. And stuff like that. So I was
Did she know why you were?
Mm-mm.
Oh, okay. But still.
I didn't tell her until I moved out that I was dancing.
What was her response to that?
She didn't talk to me for a while. Yeah, she was pretty disappointed. That's kind of why I like tried to do something else. But I still dance because I just enjoy it.
How are things with you guys now?
We're good now. I'm actually planning to move back in with her. We're looking for an apartment now with enough bedrooms so that we could all have our own privacy. You know.
That's good. So when you were living in Manhattan, that was enough to sustain like a Manhattan rent?
I had roommates.
Oh, I see. Okay.
That's the key. Nothing's enough to sustain
teamwork makes the dream work.
Okay. Nothing's enough to sustain a Manhattan rent.
Unless you like work in IT or something.
Yeah.
Or you Beyonce.
Right. Like if you're an entertainer, like you need to be grinding to be able to live in Manhattan alone, like having gigs like back to back, like on a regular basis, like a full-time job type of thing, like you're performing somewhere every day, making money every day.
So you worked at gentlemen's clubs, you also said you did like go-go and raves. How was that?
Well, for the go-go, I've only done like once or twice because it was like a, for go-go you need to have like connections and like,
what is go-go first of all?
It's more like, how do I explain it? You don't take your clothes off first of all. The you could wear like, I like the outfits better, because mm-hmm. you can actually experiment with like accessories and different types of outfits. Like mm-hmm. in the club, you strictly like have to wear something that shows everything off. Mm. Like with go-go, you could wear like shorts that cover a little something or, you know, a tutu, what boots, whatever yeah. you want. And you don't have to like go around and talk to people. You're kind of just in your own zone, just mm-hmm. like jamming out pretty That's much. Fun. Mm-hmm. You're like a showcase kind of. It's kind of cool.
And you said it was hard to.
Yeah, because you need to like, it's something that you have to get gigs for. You can't just go to the club and do what you want. You actually have to have a schedule mm-hmm. because it's a different type of space.
Okay.
Do you do private shows?
No. People always ask and I never do that because I am not trying to be on CNN mm-hmm. talking about, mm-hmm. I went to this bachelor party, private bachelor party, and they spiked my drink or whatever. Yeah, no, I'm not with it.
When you said you mentioned your outfits, what do you normally wear on stage?
For go-go or for
both?
For go-go, I would pretty much whatever I felt like doing at the time. Like the last go-go I did was a 70s theme. So I had two outfits. I had one with like a mini skirt that like poked out. It was kind of like Ariana Grande in her Break Free video. Mm-hmm. But and then I had another dress that was like more tight fitted and it looked like a disco ball.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah. But for dancing, I kind of keep it simple because the outfits are so expensive. But like you're taking it off anyway, so nobody really cares. So I just keep it simple, black thong, you know, probably like a cute bikini top. Sometimes they come together, sometimes I mix and match them. I always wear like stockings because I love stockings because I have very skinny legs and I just feel like it makes me look, you know, a little juicier when I have something squeezing up on my thigh.
True. How much do the outfits cost?
Like the cheapest one for like just a thong and like a bikini top would be like $40.
Oh wow.
Sometimes you can find them for like 30, 35, mm-hmm. but that's rare.
Where do you usually go shopping for them?
They actually have them in the club. The house mom, she brings like all this stuff. They bring like perfumes and lotion, hair products, things that you need to like get ready. And they also bring outfits. Some house moms actually make their outfits.
Oh, wow.
That's why they're so expensive, because they custom make them for the girls.
And what is a house mom?
A house mom is basically the lady who takes care of the girls backstage. Uh-huh. Make sure they have, make sure their makeup looks okay. Mm-hmm. Make sure they have like lotion, tampons, whatever. Like, she pretty much takes care of you like a mom.
Wow. I didn't know those existed. How do they even, like, who hires them?
Yeah. Where do I apply?
I'm not too sure how you get that job. I've been trying to look into it because I actually want to do that, too.
Yeah. It seems like a good way to phase out of the dancing portion.
Yeah, but still be in there.
I was literally about to say, like, as when you retire as a dancer, you just move in to that position.
Yeah. I mean, like, some house mom, I haven't met a house mom that was, like, mean. Mm-hmm. Like, they have a kind of hard shell kind of attitude. Mm-hmm. It's weird. Like, sometimes I'll be scared of them because they just have this look on their face, like, like kind of like how your mom looks at you when you're doing something that you're not supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
I guess that's why they call them a house mom.
Do they ever give you, like, advice on your dancing?
Yeah. Like, when I was at the club in Queens, Cityscapes, mm-hmm. that was the first club I started working in when I came back to New York. I didn't have my nails done. Mm-hmm. It was, like, chip nail polish or whatever. Because I was a kid. I didn't care about my nails.
Yeah.
And I was walking past, and then she called me over. She was like, "Excuse me, what's your name?" I was like, "Miami." My name was Miami at that time. Mm-hmm. And she was like, come here. And she took acetone and a cotton ball. She put it on the cotton ball. She was like, "Here, go sit in the corner and clean your fingernails because we not having that." I was like,
wow.
She was like, "Next time, you know, make sure your nails and hair and everything is like on point. And I was like, all right, damn. I didn't think anyone cared. But guys actually do look at that stuff because.
It's all about the aesthetic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you also do your makeup for shows?
Mm-hmm.
What do you do? Like, do you do like the full beat?
Hell no. Okay. I ain't got time. I only do that like if it's like a Friday night or something like that. But if it's just a weekday, it's not going to be that many guys there. You know, they're not even trying to turn up like that. Mm-hmm. They just want somebody to keep them company mm-hmm. most of the time. Mm-hmm. So I don't really beat my face. I just do like, you know, the most makeup I would do is like eyeliner and probably like eyelashes if I'm feeling fancy. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Do you wear heels on stage as well?
All the time. We cannot walk around without heels.
Wow. Do you like heels? Are you a heels person?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good.
I have heels in my bag right now.
And you keep the heels on the entire time? I'm just trying to visualize when
I see. Well, sometimes what I like to do when I'm like sitting behind the bar, mm-hmm. depends on how the club is set up, what you could get away with. Like at Cityscapes, the bar is like in the middle of the place. It's a small place. Mm-hmm. So if I'm sitting behind the bar and I'm like talking to a customer, we're just like chilling. I know I'm going to be there for a minute. I'll take my shoes off and just be chilling with my shoes off because I'm not dancing. Yeah. But when I go on stage, I'll put them back on. When I come down, I'll take them off. Mm-hmm. And like they don't mind. Some of them actually like it, you know, foot fetishes. Yeah.
That makes sense.
They'll like sit there and like give me a foot rub.
Oh, do they pay you to give you a foot rub?
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's lit.
Oh, just
pay to get a foot rub.
Need to get a better job.
need to get a job. This is the job I need to get.
In terms of bartenders, I'm not sure if you've experienced this at your clubs, but I know there's bartenders who kind of do the full bodily surgery type thing. Mm-hmm. They have the beat faces. Do you see that at your clubs?
Actually, I have a story about that.
Oh, do tell.
When I was working at Cityscapes and I saw like how much money the bartenders make, sometimes they make more money than the dancers, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And I asked,
by what margin?
Probably twice as much.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. And I asked the bouncer once. I was just joking around, but mm-hmm. I mean, in the back of my mind, I'm like, you know, I'm actually thinking about it. Mm-hmm. So I was like, hey, do you think they would let me be a bartender here? And he looked at me, he just started laughing, like hysterically laughing, like out loud, like people were turning around. Oh, and he was like, go to Columbia and get your body done and come back and then ask that question.
Wow. I did not know it was that serious.
Cutthroat for real.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. I was just joking, but thanks.
Do you have any insight on as to why, one, the bartenders are getting paid more, but, like, where this even came from? I feel like this is a pretty recent
I don't know. Thing. I think it's because they're the ones that are, first of all, they're getting paid already. They're getting a paycheck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because they actually work there. Mm-hmm. Like, as a dancer, we're paying the club to be there. Mm-hmm. You know, the house fee. But the bartenders, first they get a paycheck, then they get whatever tips that are included, mm-hmm. and then they get tips.
Yeah.
Which sometimes, like, I've seen customers make it rain on bartenders.
Mm-hmm. What the fuck is
Because, like, sometimes the bartenders, they'll be trying to be cute and flirty. Yeah. They'll turn around, they'll, you know, twerk or whatever, and then there you go.
Wow.
It's an easy way to make money without dancing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's like, it's kind of unfair. It's like, dude, I'm the one out here in these heels busting my ass. Yeah. Like, you're already getting a paycheck. Like, chill. Yeah.
So do you think there's like beef or tension?
Oh, I've seen bartenders and dancers getting fights all the time. It's nothing new. It's like, just like being in high school.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, that's sad. How much is the house fee normally? What is a house fee, first of all?
Okay, so, like, in the entertainment, a lot of times you have to pay the venue to perform in their space. Mm-hmm. Like, you're renting out the space to put on your show, pretty much. And that's how it works. Sometimes they don't have a house fee, depending on what club it is. Like, at Cityscapes, they stop charging a house fee during the week. Mm-hmm. But on the weekends, they do charge a house fee. For the day shift, it's around $10. Mm. And the night shift is like anywhere like 80 and up.
Jeez.
Yeah, because it's the night shift. You should be going home with at least 1,000. Okay. You know, but then you take the house fee out of that, so you're going home at like 800.
Mm-hmm. Do you normally, when you do the day, you normally do the day shift, right? Mm-hmm. How much do you normally get paid?
The most I've made for my day shift is probably like $500 to $600
a day.
That's not bad at all. That's two paychecks. And the times that you have done the night shift, how much?
I only did the night shift once, and I left early because I couldn't. I lied. I did it twice. Mm-hmm. The first time I made money. I made like $400, but that's because I left early. I wasn't about to stay till 4 a.m. on the dot.
Yeah.
But, you know, there was two guys who threw a stack at me, and I made like a good amount of money from that. Mm-hmm. And I got a few lap dances, and then some people were tipping me on the floor. So it was a good night. Mm-hmm. But then the second and third time I tried, it was just not, no. Mm-hmm. So I just stopped doing it and altogether. Like, I would go up to a guy. I went up to a guy, and I was like, you know, hi, how are you, blah, blah, blah. And he just looked at me and didn't say anything. He just gave me a nasty look, like, why are you talking to me?
Wow.
This was during the night shift.
Mm-hmm.
And do you feel like he was reacting to you because you didn't look like that cookie cutter?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of stare.
Yeah, like, he looked me up and down, and he was like, where's your ass, pretty much. He didn't say it, but the look on his face.
Wow. So, in terms of, like, self-promotion, do you do any of that? Or when you were, like, dancing regularly, did you do any of that outside the club?
Not really. I actually was one of the people who tried to keep it on the low.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot of girls, they would always be on their phones, like, taking pictures, you know, on Instagram and Snapchat, you know, keeping it updated. But I never was really into that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I kind of like to just put what I want on my social media when I want, but I don't really talk about it.
Yeah.
Like, I might post a picture of me at the club, but I won't tell them where the club is or what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. I just let them look at it. So I don't really do promotions at all too many times.
Cool. When you're... Do most of the clubs that you work at have poles?
Mm-hmm.
Do you utilize the pole?
Of course.
Okay. So, like, how crazy does the pole work get for you?
It depends on the day, really. Uh-huh. Sometimes I feel like doing more floor work, so I'll just, like, use the pole to, like, walk around it and whatever, or, like, you lean on it if my feet hurt or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I would feel like doing a lot of pole work, and I'll go all the way up to the ceiling and, like, you know, just do whatever. Wow. It's kind of a just feel it type of thing. You just have to feel it.
Mm-hmm. Is that tiring?
Yeah, hence the cocaine every now and then.
Do you ever feel like the next morning, like, wow, my back?
Yes. Okay. My back, my feet, my neck, my arms.
You guys are really strong to do that.
Yeah, when sometimes at my job, when I, like, I'll accidentally break something, my coworkers will be looking at me like, what? They're like, you fucking Hulk over there, like the She-Hulk. I'm like, sorry. I'm like, really strong for a tiny person. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, that's funny. Did you ever, or have the course throughout your dancing, have you ever had, like, romantic partners who you were, like, committed to?
Yeah.
And how is that? How does that play out?
I've only done that once, and I will never do it again. So help me God. He was, like, literally Prince Charming. And I was committed to him not that long, but it felt like it was a lifetime because that's how shook I was off of him. We met at the club. He was actually one of the first guys I gave a lap dance to in the all-nude club. And I was, like, really nervous because of that. I've never danced completely naked before. And he was a regular there at the time. And the manager brought me over to him. He was like, oh, dance with him. He's really nice. He's a well-paying customer, blah, blah, blah. I was like, okay. And he just looked like a normal guy. He was like wearing like a Mets jersey and some jeans and like some dirty sneakers. Mm-hmm. And he was just chilling. He wasn't even drinking anything, I don't think. He was just sitting there. He just got there. And I went over. He was like, hey, my name's Rich. Girl. I just started laughing immediately. I was like, really? He was like, yeah. And I was like, all right, my name's Frosty, if that's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
He was like, no, that's really my name. And I was like, all right, whatever. So then he was like, have you ever done a lap dance before? First, we just like were talking. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, do you want to do a lap dance? And he was like, okay. And I was surprised when I was doing it because he just sat there and he wasn't like trying to touch me. He just had a very cool, calm look on his face.
Okay.
He's just chilling.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow. And then out of nowhere, he asked if I wanted to do some lines. I was like, I wish, but there's cameras in here.
Yeah.
And he was like, okay. So then he left that alone for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the dance, we were talking. And he was like, oh, what are you doing after this? I said, I'm going home. He's like, where's home? I was like, in Midtown. And he was like, oh, I could give you a ride and we could do some lines in my car. I was like, he was like, trust me, I won't try anything besides try to get your number. And I was like, all right, Mr. Honesty.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, well, if you do try anything, I totally have the right to punch you in the face. And I'm warning you, so you can't say I didn't warn you.
Yeah.
And he was like, that's totally fine with me. So he left first. And then I went and I changed my clothes and I went outside. And we met like a block away from the club.
Okay.
Because... you know.
Wait, so not alert people in the club that you were like fraternizing with the...
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why he like left before me.
Mm-hmm.
And then so I went and I changed my clothes. And the amount of time it takes me to change, they had already closed already. Uh-huh. So, you know, they want people to leave. So it wasn't like anything suspect looking.
Okay. And do they like actually look down upon dancers fraternizing with the customers?
I mean, if it's like anything... I don't think they care as long as you don't do it at the club or like, you know, get the club tied up in it. Mm-hmm. You could do whatever you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
They know people are going to do whatever they want to do at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. Which is sometimes like full service sex work.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But if you're like doing it on a regular basis, I don't know. One time they did get shut down because girls were doing that.
Yeah.
And I was highly upset.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
Yeah.
We were in his car and he was playing music and then he gave me the whole baggie. He was like, you know, do your thing. Cause I guess he knew that I knew what to do with it. I was like, okay, you trust me that much?
Yeah.
And then like the bill that he gave me to crush it up with,
mm-hmm.
usually people use a $1 bill.
Was it a $100 bill?
No, that was another time. It was like a $20 bill. I was like, you're not gonna use this? He was like, he just shrugged his shoulders.
Oh no.
I was like, okay.
Yeah.
So then we were actually having a good time just doing lines, mm-hmm. listening to music, and he took me home. And then when we got to my house, he asked me for my number, mm-hmm. and I was like, since you are such a gentleman, I'll give it to you.
Yeah.
And we actually ended up dating for a while,
mm-hmm.
and every date was like a whole new adventure. Like he took me to Philly for my birthday. That's just right. Because I love Philly cheesesteaks.
Wow. That was really sweet.
He was so corny, but yeah.
You said you would never do it again.
Mm-mm.
Why not?
Because he broke my heart. But I don't know. It was like a one-time thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm grateful for it, but I would never do it again because I don't want to go through that heartbreak again.
How did he break your heart?
He disappeared.
Oh.
Like,
ghosted.
Mm-hmm. And then he came back, and then he ghosted again. But now I stalk his Snapchat, so I guess it's okay.
Yeah, we all have to cope in the ways that we can. So yeah. he was never, like, upset that you were a dancer or jealous or anything like that?
Mm-mm.
And you've never experienced that?
Mm-mm.
That's awesome.
I mean, yeah, actually, I was living with this guy, and I didn't know it was like that. I thought we were just friends, because when I moved in there, he was like, I don't want any relationships, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, cool. So,
yeah, me neither.
Yeah. But then, like, he started getting really, like, he's like, oh, where were you last night? I'm like, working the fuck?
Yeah.
He was like, oh, how much did you make? Oh, why did he tip you $100? What?
That's like, really weird.
Yeah. So it just got really annoying at one point. And I was just like, I just gave up on that after a while. I was like, I did not
sign up for that.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. And it didn't really faze me, because we weren't even in a relationship. Mm-hmm. I told him I didn't want a relationship, mm-hmm. especially with him.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
And then, yeah, so he knew that I wasn't about that. Mm-hmm. But okay. He still was paranoid about it for some reason. But he was a very paranoid person in general. Oh, so
sounds possessive. Not good. Glad you're out of that situation.
Yeah.
What are some of your favorite, like, songs or just type of music in general to dance to?
I like house music. Mm-hmm. I like sometimes jazzy type music.
Oh.
Sometimes trap music, but I only like to dance to trap music if I'm, like, drunk. Mm-hmm. That's the only time I get hype about it. But sometimes I would have to request songs, because a lot of the music that I would like to dance to, they yeah. don't even have on the playlist. Uh-huh. So I'd have to go and put it in myself or yeah. ask the DJ to do it for me.
What is your, like, number one favorite song to dance to?
The original High by Adam Lambert.
Oh, I don't even know what that is. But oh my God. I'll listen to it after this.
Yeah.
What is it about that song that, like...
The beat, uh-huh. and it's like, just like the title, it's like the original high. Yeah. The original high for me is performing.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So, like, when I hear that and I'm on stage, it's like an aphrodisiac.
Mm-hmm. Oh, do you ever feel, because you're, like, dancing in a sexual way to arouse people, right?
I guess. Okay. But... the thing about dancing, which is why even though I'm trying not to do it full time, I still do it every now and then, mm-hmm. just because I crave it sometimes, mm-hmm. is because when you get comfortable in that space, like in the clubs and being around, you know, the guys who are like looking at you and they look like puppy dogs, after a while they legit look like puppy dogs to me. And I'm like, you know, kind of... their master.
Yeah. Oh.
And like, you get this weird sense of power. And it's kind of like addicting.
Does it turn you on
sometimes?
Wow, that's awesome. No, I can imagine, especially like depending on what you're wearing and stuff like that, and you're like towering over them in the heels.
Yeah,
it's dope.
And then they're just like, the look on their face sometimes if you like do something they didn't expect it, and they just like grab their crotch because they don't want you to see their boner. They're like, you need to stop. I'm like,
I love that. Do you ever have or what is your like female customer base like? Do women come in very often?
Not really. Okay. The only time I see girls come in is if it's like couples, which is weird, because then it's weird because the girls get more hype than the guys do.
That's interesting. In what kinds of ways?
Like, they'll be the ones throwing the money and getting lap dances.
Yeah.
And the guys will be sitting there in the corner scared to do anything because they think their girl is going to flip out. But she's yeah. having more fun than you. So, yeah. like, what's your problem?
That's interesting.
But when the girls do come, sometimes they usually do gravitate towards the Instagram-looking model type girls. Mm-hmm. I never had a lap dance with a girl before. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, they'll sit and talk to me. They'll be like, oh, you're so cute and tiny. But they actually give their money to the other girls.
That's fucked up.
Yeah. I mean, like, you're a female. You think you would understand and, you yeah. know, throw me a little something.
I mean, not necessarily. Women fall into misogynistic thinking mm-hmm. as well. So, I have one last question. And then also, if you want to add anything mm-hmm. That we didn't cover. But what advice or, like, do's and don'ts would you give to people who are like, aspiring dancers?
aspiring dancers. I'm sorry.
Why'd you laugh at that?
Because, like, when it comes to that, no one really aspires to do that. But I guess nowadays they would, because it's so, like, it's advertised so much.
Yeah, and it's pretty saturated with bartenders and strippers right now. And they are making a lot of money.
I would just say that they need to, like, they can't go into it with a weak mind. You need to be, like, you need to know who you are and not let anyone, like, be able to persuade you into doing sketchy things. I mean, like, do as much sketchy shit as you want. Just make sure it's what you want to do. And it's not, like, somebody tempting you and dragging you into it and making you, like, do all this crazy stuff just because you work in that industry. You could still be a good person, you know? Don't be trying to, like, fight over money. If someone picks up some money that was next to your foot, okay, let them have it. Don't, like, get into fights over things like that. When you work in that industry, you could get very materialistic, and, like, every dollar is, like, yours, you want it, but you can't think like that, because it's just gonna stress you out. Like, I've gone home crying a lot of times and, like, having mental breakdowns because I was thinking that way. And it's like, you just have to be able to deal with it.
And you were crying because,
like, sometimes I would go home with not even $100 because I didn't believe in myself, and I wasn't, like, you know, going up to people and talking to them. I wasn't dancing. I wasn't doing anything because I'm like, oh, look at that girl. She has, like, this beautiful body. She's making way more money than me. Look at her bag. It's, like, so big. And no one's even looking at me. But that's because I was just not putting myself out there.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to do that, do it. Mm-hmm. You can't be in there like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. That's good advice.
Please stay safe. You know, sometimes they confiscate, you know, your mace or knife or whatever you choose to carry. Yeah, I got my mace confiscated once. So if you're trying to protect yourself, just make sure you can keep it on you. No one's gonna, like, find it and be like, oh, you can't have this. And, like, just make sure you have some way to be safe at all times. Whether it's going home with a friend or, like, taking a cab. But I know sometimes you don't want to spend money on a cab.
Yeah.
So if you're taking the train, definitely have something on you. Mm-hmm. Make sure your phone is charged.
Yeah.
Please.
Be prepared. Thank you so much for being here with us. Yeah, so we're going to skip Fuck You this week because Akua has to run.
Sorry, guys.
But thank you so much, Fasthia, for being here with us.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, no problem.
And being patient with me.
Oh, no problem.
No problem. Thank you.
Today's a very patient day. Yes. So, yes, that's it for the Inner Hoa Present.
Would you like to plug any social media you have?
Maybe my Instagram? I don't know. I'm working on it. I never used to be an Instagram fan, but, you know, times have changed. Mm-hmm. So my Instagram is Fox. It's just my name with the S replaced with an X. Mm-hmm. It's FOXTHEA. And yeah.
Okay, cool.
All right. You guys can follow me on Instagram and Snapchat at Hey A Cool Girl, HeyAKuaGirl.
Yes, yes. You can follow me at SlamRid on Instagram and Twitter, and you can follow me at Samanners on Snapchat, and all of that will be in the description for this episode.
Don't forget Inaho Uprising without the G on Twitter, Inaho Uprising on Instagram and Facebook, InahoUprising.com to buy merch and to pay a bitch.
And also IHUpodcast@gmail.com if you would like to have your stories on the show, or if you just want to yell at us, I don't know, whatever you want to do. If you want to contact us there. Yeah. That's it. Thank you, guys.
Give us ratings and stuff, whatever. Bye.
Bye.